Hype Machine. Decoding viral culture at light speed.
Did you ever stop to think about why that sound, that tiny 8-bit jingle, can feel more real, more emotionally loaded than the flashiest blockbuster today?
All the time. I watched a trailer for a reboot of a show I loved as a kid and felt this electric mix of joy and, not quite sadness, more like a tug for something I can't name. Exactly. I booted an old console recently, and the startup tone just cut past thought and hit memory directly, like a password into an earlier version of me. And we keep typing that password, scroll through our feeds, and it's basically a museum wing for the last 3 decades. Which makes me wonder, are we just reaching for comfort, or is our own past being deliberately boxed up and sold back to us? Comfort or compression? Warm blanket or weighted one? That's what I want to figure out with you, not with a crowd watching us. Then, let's call it what we're digging into. The rise of digital nostalgia in modern media. Not as a slogan, but as a live question between us. Good. So where do you want to start? The old rule of thumb. The 20-year nostalgia cycle. Right. What's popular when you're a kid resurfaces about 20 years later, conveniently when you've got money. 70s loved the 50s. Happy Days, Grease. The 90s went hard on the 70s. You could plan campaigns around it. Except the clock's off. If it held, 80s throwback should have peaked by, what, 2005? Maybe 2010? And yet, we're still living in neon and synths. It's less a wave than a standing pool. Stranger Things didn't just surf nostalgia. It generated it. Or put Kate Bush back in heavy rotation for kids who weren't around when the song came out. Totally. It's not a tip of the hat. It's full immersion. So what snapped the 20-year gear? I'm going to ask this, even though I know your answer. The internet? Prime suspect. Access used to be scarce. Late-night reruns. A warped VHS. Now it's an all-you-can-scroll buffet. The past isn't distant. It's the extra browser tab you forgot to close. Which changes the longing itself. You don't chase the haze. You stream the source. When scarcity vanishes, the ache feels different. Not weaker, just rewired. And not only for people who lived it. My niece is deep into 80s fashion. She wasn't born for 20 more years. For her, it's an aesthetic she found on TikTok, not a memory. There's a word for that. Anamoya. Anamoya. Nostalgia for a time you never knew. Anamoya. That fits. It's a cleaned-up decade, the look, the sound, with the messy context stripped out and sold as a vibe. A very marketable vibe. So if the cycle's broken and we can dip into any year, any time, what happens to the present? Are we just permanent curators? My first instinct is yes, but look closer and it's weirder and bigger. It's not just us. This isn't simply a Hollywood echo. You're saying it's global? I've always pinned it on the American content machine. Same, until I tripped over what Japan calls Showa nostalgia, the Showa era love fest. Artists like Maria Takeuchi, and her 80s track Plastic Love resurfacing online. It's not a wink. It's a full revival. No kidding. I know that song. I honestly thought it was a modern retro pastiche. You're saying it's the real thing brought back to life? Exactly. And it's not just music. It's chasing old Famicom consoles, 80s arcades like Pac-Man, even haircuts like the Seiko-chan cut. Whole sensorial worlds. What about South Korea? Is there a version of this there? They even coined Neutro, New Plus Retro. A show like Reply 1988 bottled everyday 80s life and sparked a whole style revival. Showa Retro in Japan, Neutro in Korea. Different languages for the same tug. And it gets oddly specific. In Indonesia, people collect 80s pop on cassette. In Singapore, there's fierce affection for those 1980s mosaic playgrounds.
Wait, playgrounds? Say that again, slowly. Not movies or music. Playgrounds?
Yep, the actual public spaces of childhood. That flips the frame. That's not about a global product like a Stallone action flick. It's about texture, place, materials, the way tile feels under your shoes. Texture is the whole point. Media and medium. The VHS sleeve, the cassette plick, mosaic grout underfoot. And I know this sounds like a footnote. It's not a footnote. It's the handle memory uses to grab you. So the feeling's universal, even if the objects change. Someone in Greece, replaying Anavisi, Anavisi, might be feeling the same tug as someone in Brazil revisiting Balão Mágico. The longing maps the same for a world that felt more solid, less evaporative than a social feed. A time before everything was everywhere at once. Or maybe it's about us. We're the first cohorts who grew up online and now have cultural leverage. We can look back at the last pre-internet generation with near-perfect recall. You're saying our tools make remembrance the default. The infinite archive is the primary paintbrush.
Right. And we keep painting the 80s in different colors around the world.
Think 80s radio in Finland and Belgium, or Deutschland 83 in Germany. Which leads to the nervy question I keep circling. You were about to say it, or do you want me to? No, I've got it. If our nostalgia wave is powered by us and our total recall brains, what happens when the next generation looks back at this?
Oof.
What exactly do they miss? A decade defined by its love for another decade? Are they going to be nostalgic for our nostalgia? It's like photocopying a photocopy until the image faints. A cultural snake eating its tail. A Ouroboros. Are we building a future with nothing original to revisit? That's the nightmare loop, an endlessly curated, algorithmically stitched playlist of yesterday. I hear you, but I'm leaning carefully toward optimism. I keep saying that like I'm certain, and I'm not. Go on, I'm listening, not grading. Maybe we're not cloning, we're speaking. The past is a language we're fluent in. We use shared signals, the synth patches, the film tropes, the silhouettes, to say something new about right now. It's not an absence of originality, it's a different delivery system. So, not an echo chamber, a shared vocabulary.
Exactly.
Collaborative world building with pre-existing assets. When a musician fires up an 80s drum machine, they're not impersonating the decade. They're tapping the emotional history baked into that sound to make a fresh statement.
I get it.
But I still worry that if everything is a reference, we forget how to leap without a net. Remixes are safe. Art's job isn't safety.
Fair.
Annoyingly fair, even. That's the core tension. The comfort of the known versus the jolt of the truly new. And here's the edge of what I actually know. Past this, I'd be guessing.
Same.
Also, you do have a habit of turning everything into tabs and feeds.
Guilty.
You catch me doing it every time. Okay, one last thing and then you can land it. We just spent an hour looking backward while asking if we look back too much. That contradiction is very us. We're either the problem or the prototype. Let's wrap with a pact between us. Next time that 8-bit hook or a synth riff hits, we'll ask each other if it feels like a warm blanket or a weighted one, and what that answer says about the world we're in right now.
Deal.
And know you first dance this time. You take the last word.
Then here it is. We can keep borrowing the past, as long as we're brave enough to add something that didn't exist before.